the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. Well, that's from Exodus 15, and yesterday, if you heard the show, we're in Exodus 18, but with those great words from God's holy book, the Bible, we welcome you to this edition of Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper. And if you're aware you can get a copy of the Bible, turn to Exodus 18, if you would, and we'll continue. Then, as we always do later on in the program, we'll take Bible questions, and we would love to hear from you. And sometimes we kind of jokingly say this, if you've ever wanted to raise your hand during a sermon, well, now's your chance. And so we'll take questions later. Hey, but Bert, before we get into Exodus 18, I just want to give a word of thanks to the engineering department of the American Family Radio Network. I'm on the road. You know, I was in Indiana last week, and now I'm in Colorado. Well, had a little issue. The power supply for my Comrex, the wire shorted out, and it wouldn't work. And so yesterday I was on an app on the phone, which is not quite ideal. And Matt and engineering said they would overnight me a power supply, and they did. And here we are. We're blessed with a really good team, aren't we?
We really are. I enjoy working with them so much, and they're great guys, and they love the Lord, and that's what they're called to do, and they use their gifts to help us to be able to broadcast. So, Alex, it's great that you're able to do that. I'm glad your power source was with your equipment and not with you. You know, our power source is amen. Our power source doesn't get frayed lines, but if we're not on target, we can interrupt that power source. But we need to keep our sins confessed, our heart right, and our attitude right, and our actions toward God. And I want to tell you that power source that we have through the Holy Spirit will deliver. So, Alex, I think that comes across in the latter part of 18 that we finished up yesterday after Jethro departed and went back to his own land. And in chapter 19 and 20, we have the centerpiece of the book of Exodus. Now, I know he brought them out. That was it. But now we're getting where Moses is going to meet God. He met him at the bush, but now he's meeting him on Mount Sinai. So I want to give a little bit of introduction to this chapter 19, Alex, and see what you think. In chapter 19, verse 3, Moses went up to God. Okay? Turn over to verse 20, Alex. Look at this. And then it says, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai. So Moses went up. God came down. Now look at verse 25. So Moses went down to the people. What a connection. A man of God, someone who is interceding. Moses is a type of Christ here in many ways, interceding for them. And so, but that's, we should operate. We go up to God. We lift our voice up to God. We lift him up in praise. He comes. Now, when it says he comes down, it's through his Holy Spirit that he's come. And he's come down to meet us where we are. And then we are to go down into life and live it. Do you catch my connection in those ways?
Powerful, powerful. And that's one of the reasons, folks, that we encourage you to be in church on Sunday. Listen, we so much of the Christian life, we walk the journey, and it's just me and Jesus, and it's you and the Lord. But we need that corporate worship, and we need to get together with the larger body of believers and be taught and be encouraged and be equipped, and then get our batteries charged for the week.
Get that power source.
Yeah, exactly.
Amen.
Exactly. So chapter 19 says this, in the third month when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim, and they were come into the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, in other words, pitched their camp, their tent, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Verse 4 of Exodus 19. Don't you love that, Bert?
Amen.
It kind of reminds me of Isaiah 40:31, that those who wait on the Lord will mount up with wings as eagles.
Yeah.
We are borne along or carried on the strong arms and eagle's wings of our living God, aren't we?
We really are. And notice, if you know anything about eagles, they soar high against the wind. In other words, they fly into the wind, and it caused them to soar higher than ever. So I think there is a spiritual application here, Alex, that in the most troubled times, when the wind is contrary, as it says sometimes in the New Testament, on the Sea of Galilee, in the King James, the wind was contrary. Guess what? He bears us up on eagle's wings. He holds us up. And the view from the eagle's wings is awesome. You see God operating in such a way that in the valley, yeah, we grow in the valley, I understand. But up on the eagle's wings, we view things that we would never understand any other way. So, Alex, we need to be borne up on the eagle's wings. But when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for he's with us there, and he's training us there. So whether we ascend into great glory or we descend in the difficulties of life, he's there, isn't he, Alex?
Well, he really is. He really is. And now, here in Exodus 19, you know, the promises that God has made that the whole world would know his law and therein would be blessed. I mean, we're going to see some of these promises realized that God calls Moses and said, You saw what I did, and if they will obey my voice, keep my covenant, they will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak to the children of Israel. So God is giving Moses what you're about to experience, Moses, on Mount Sinai. You're going to need to tell them what's going on. And so Moses gets the elders together, and they hear what is happening. Now, verse 8.
Alex, real quickly, if you don't mind, let me look at verse 5 and 6 just for a second. Would that be okay?
Okay, sure.
Okay,
yeah,
notice the if. Notice the if. Notice it says, if you, and then it says, my voice, my covenant. Then it goes to, you shall be a special treasure to me. All the earth is mine. And then verse 6, you shall be to me a kingdom priest and holy nation. Do you see how it goes back? It's this covenant between God and his people. It is so important that we see that. And the last thing I wanted to say, this, you said it yesterday. Does this not sound like the gospel? Matter of fact, Peter decides to quote that in 1 Peter chapter 2. Alex, it's a beautiful thing. We are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. I just wanted to get that in. Go ahead to verse 8.
Well, you know, wouldn't it be nice if the people lived up to this, and all of us, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Okay, here's what God says to the people, and here's what the people say to God. Good news, Lord, the people say they're going to obey everything you've instructed. That's not always the case, though, is it?
I'm afraid not. If over the scripture, you know, we find out about God, and it says when he is always faithful, even if we're not faithful. God, well, that's the reason he starts out, I bore you on eagle's wings. Guess what? He still carries us on those eagle's wings, not only in our deliverance, but in our life. He bears us up, Alex. He holds us up. Go ahead, brother.
Well, it's very fascinating. Verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come to thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Bert, this thick cloud, for one thing, I think it's fascinating. In the English Bible, God says, now, Moses, when you go up on Mount Sinai, you know, I wonder if God was sort of sharing this so Moses wouldn't be terrified. The mountain is going to tremble, and you tell the people that I'm going to meet with them. But the word translated thick cloud, for one thing, the word thick is the word C-O-P-S-E, copse. It's an old word, but it means a thicket. And really, there's the implication of like tightly grown bushes or trees people would hide in a thicket. So this is going to be dense. And the word cloud, people will know this, is the word nimbus. And that's a cloud with illumination. Isn't that something? And God says, I'm going to come to you in this thick cloud. Now, what's amazing is, and by the way, it really means a halo. Moses is going to be in the presence of God, and it is going to be so tangible and all-encompassing. When he comes down, they're not even going to be able to look at him.
That is so true. But I want to add one thing about this thickness and the cloud, you know, the halo, the mystery. Yes, we can know God, but there's still that mysteriousness of God. It's like the Trinity. Alex, we've heard more, I think we've probably had more questions on exploring the Word in these 12 to 13 years you and I've been doing a program about the Trinity, trying to explain it, trying to understand it, but there's some mystery there. Another question we get all the time concerning God's sovereignty and man's free will, there's a mystery there that is a little bit beyond our capacity to completely understand it. We know it. The Bible teaches it. We believe it with every fiber of our being, but there's still that mystery. There's the mysteriousness here of this thick cloud. Do you catch a little bit of what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, Christianity is, and the Bible itself is, revelation and hiddenness.
Yeah. It is.
See, God has told us everything we need to know. He hasn't necessarily told us everything we might want to know, you know, right? Not a great illustration, but I think about my nephew Benjamin. When he was a little bitty boy, he was about 6 years old, and we went to the mall near Christmas, and my niece and nephew were living with us for a while. And at this one store, Bert, there was a racetrack, you know, like a little electric racetrack. And Benjamin was staring at that thing like he was looking up at the Statue of Liberty. And he said, Uncle Alex, what does that say? And I think it said Wheels of Thunder. Well, I had already purposed in my mind, I didn't care what I had to do, I was going to buy him that for Christmas. And so he said, I want that for Christmas. And I said, well, you know, be a good boy and, you know, maybe you'll get it. Well, we went back to the mall a week or two later, and that last race set was gone, and he was very sad. And then there was a package under the tree. Tell me what it is. I said, no, don't you want to be surprised? Here's the thing. I wanted to tell him because I didn't want his little heart to break, but the reason the shelf was empty was because I had bought it for him. And if he would only be patient, Christmas morning would be very special. Now, God doesn't tell us everything, but he's got our good and our joy foremost on his to-do list. I really believe that.
Amen. And it's going to be special in heaven when we either taught it or we know it. Hey, you don't want to miss it. We'll be back right after the break. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why Everyday Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial pound 250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
Amen. I love that song, and it's a special song today. Today is a special day on Tuesdays sometimes, and we're going to try to make it more regular. We have prayer day. Now, you can still call in a question, but we just want to share with you on today when we have a prayer request, it's going to have priority today. So we want you to know that number. If you've got prayer request and you want to call it in, it's 888-589-8840. The lines are not open yet. Just write that down. Remember, and if you have a special prayer request, we want to hear it so we can pray for you today. God, we treat this, as Alex said, like a Bible class. And in Bible classes, people hold up their hands and ask questions. People come in and they have special prayer requests. And that's how we try to treat this program. We hope it ministers to you. One more thing before we go back to Exodus 19, Alex. Share-a-thon's coming up. It's going to be in April. So right now, we're getting listener stories. And that means, let me put it in another word, testimonies of what God has done for you through using AFR. And we'd love to talk about, we hear it all the time on the radio when people call in, Alex, and they'll say, yeah, you guys have been so special. You were praying for us. You answered the question. So if you have a testimony or a story about how God has blessed you through AFR, our program, other programs, would you mind calling that in and get it ready for a minute or 2 minutes, and then you might hear it played during Share-a-thon. But tell us how Christ has used AFR in your life. It's not what AFR does. It's what Jesus does. Now, here's another number. It's a different number than the call-in number. It is 877-876-8893. This is the listener story number. If you've got a testimony, we'd love to hear it, 1 or 2 minutes, 877-876-8893. And so we hope that we will hear from some of you. During Share-a-thon, you might hear your listener testimony. Well, Alex, we're here in chapter 19. I love this chapter. I love it beyond measure. And Moses told the words to the people, to the Lord. That's important. Guess what a preacher is supposed to do when he preaches?
Give the people the word of God.
Amen. That's true here. It's true today. The word of God. In John 21, Jesus said, tell Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. How do you do that? Through the word of God. And so all of you that are teachers and preachers, people that are chaplains, and you give testimony in jails and hospitals and minister, have a word of God. Then verse 10, Alex, and then we'll come, because there's some significance here, I think. Let me read all the way, if I could, through verse 12, and I'll throw it to you. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud. We've discussed that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. So Moses told the words to the people of the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, sanctify them today, and tomorrow let them wash their clothes, and let them be ready for the third day. There it is again. We've been asked about, is something special about the third day? Here it is again. For on the third day, the Lord will come down from Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. Now, Alex, again, the Lord is going to come down to Mount Sinai to meet with Moses. What? This is, let me just say, this is the Mount Everest of an experience meeting God. He met him at the bush, you know, the burning bush, but now he's meeting on Mount Sinai at the burning bush. He had something he wanted him to go and do. here he's got something that he needs to receive and share. But God has that message for him, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And, you know, the people are told to sanctify themselves and wash their clothes and be ready. I love this in verse 11, be ready for the third day. The Lord will come down in the sight of all the people. There's something about the third day, God revealing himself.
Amen.
The third day, Christ was risen. But here's the thing in verse 12, God told Moses told the people, you shall set bounds or boundaries unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mount shall surely be put to death. Now, Exodus 20 that we're going to get to is very famously the giving of the Ten Commandments. But, Bert, one of the beautiful things about what Christ accomplished on the cross is that, in Matthew 27, there was the earthquake and the curtain in the temple sequestering the Holy of Holies away from the people. Nobody but the high priest could go in to the Holy of Holies, and then only once a year. But when Jesus was on the cross and the atonement, the payment of our sins, was accomplished, the curtain was open, the rocks rent. It's really saying that the way to God is open. God's arms are open now. And here in Exodus 19, the holiness of God. You can't just rush into the presence of God on your own terms. And there's the warning, you'd be put to death. But still, God is holy. We come to God on his terms. We repent, we believe, we obey. But one of the beautiful things that is being depicted here is that a God that we were separated from and a God that we couldn't reach on human terms is a God that now we can know personally with joyful assurance of heart. We can know Almighty Eternal God through Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, Alex. What a story to tell.
And Bert, forgive me, I don't mean to jump
in. Yeah, go ahead,
man. But in many ways, Christianity, I'm going to name three mountains. I started to say Christianity is about two mountains, but I'm going to say Christianity is about three mountains.
Yeah. I want to see if Sinai, I get the third one. I got it in mind. I want to see if I got your three. Go
Sinai,
ahead.
Calvary, and I would say the Mount of Olives.
Amen. I knew that would be it, or at least I thought. He's going to return there, and he taught there, but he's going to return there. It was significant what he taught there, but it's significant what's going to happen there one day, isn't it, Alex?
Well, Mount Sinai signifies our guilt because we've broken God's perfect law. Calvary represents our forgiveness. Jesus paid the debt. The Mount of Olives, Christ is going to return.
Amen.
And he will touch down on the Mount of Olives, and he will rule and reign forever and ever. I guess I could add a fourth mountain, the Mountain of the Lord. Really, very often, Jerusalem itself is called the citadel or God's holy mountain. It's interesting. Jerusalem is on the mountains of Moriah, on that mountain where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, and God spoke through Abraham, and Abraham told his son, God himself will provide the lamb.
Amen.
Calvary is really part of the mountains of Moriah, though it's outside the city. So we should do a show about the significance of mountains in God's word and the salvation story.
Amen. I agree with you fully. Let me say one thing about the boundaries. Do you remember the Garden of Eden?
Mm-hmm.
There was one particular tree that God said, Adam and Eve told Adam, and then Adam hopefully told Eve, she should have known. But anyway, do not partake of that tree. Do not. God's boundaries is always for our good. Remember, God is not a, and I remember how Dr. Adrian Rogers, God would say this, God's not a cosmic killjoy. No.
Amen.
He is the one that brings joy to our lives. And these boundaries that we have, they're for us. And when we get to the Ten Commandments in chapter 20, the boundaries or the commandments that he has given us is good for life. It's good for family. It's good for society altogether. And that's why they should be posted at, they should be posted in a lot of places like the Supreme Court they are. But Alex, here it is. Now, verse 13 says, as we move on, not a hand shall touch him, but he shall surely be stoned or shot with an arrow. If they do this, whether man or beast, he shall not live. And so this is a severe, do not come near the mountain. Don't take a chance. Now, notice verse 14. Again, Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people. No, notice how Moses goes up, he comes down, he goes up, he comes down. Every time he's come down, he's got a message for the people, Alex. And he says, Amen. Sanctified the people. They washed their clothes. He said, be ready. There's that term again. Be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings along with that thick cloud on the mountain. And then added, the sound of the trumpet was very loud. So all the people who were in the camp trembled. There's that, the fear of God, not afraid, but fear of God, the mystery of God, the holiness of God. It demands respect and awe, Alex. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. Isn't that a beautiful statement? And they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now, here it is. Moses bringing them ready. He's heard from God. He shares what God has said. They said everything God's going to say, we're going to do. Now, we know better than they did not. But here he brings them to this place. And what a beautiful thing it is. I could not help but think of Jesus Christ. He's going to come back one day. And he's those who are dead and buried, they're going to be risen. And those of us who are alive, we shall be changed to be with the Lord forever. He's going to present us to the Father one day, Alex, just like Moses is bringing these people to present them before God to hear what God is going to do. You just see that story the third day. You see all this in this chapter, don't you?
You really do. You really do. And God is looking after his people. You know, God sets boundaries out of love, really. I like what you said. Did you say that Adrian Rogers said God is not a cosmic killjoy?
That's his exact words. I remember that one. When Adrian Rogers said it, you listen. You know what I mean?
Amen. Look, everything God does for us, he does out of love, you know, and even the moral boundaries that we are to live in. Listen, Jesus fulfilled the law, but that doesn't mean that we can now live lawlessly, you know. Just because Christ paid our sin debt on the cross doesn't mean now that we live in a state of license. Moral boundaries still apply to individuals and nations, not the Ten Commandments are not the plan of salvation. But I just want to say this, Bert. I've been writing an article about woke Christianity and how, some professed Christians are now endorsing things that the Bible clearly forbids. And we are not to be a lawless people, even though we know God fulfilled the law in Christ. We are to live morally because God sets his moral parameters out of love, doesn't he?
He really does, and it's for our good. Anytime God says do, it's ultimately for our good. Every time he says don't, it's ultimately for our good. Trust and obey him. Abide in him, and then that trusting and obeying will happen in your life. Now, Alex, verse 18, this is powerful. It says, now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. There it is. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him, listen to this, by voice.
Amen.
What a meeting and a communication this was. But you couldn't help but notice the fire. God's fire, his presence is, when he comes back, his eyes are as a burning gaze, you know? Nothing's hidden from him, is there?
No. This is just amazing. God answered by a voice. God speaks words. God is a communicative God, and he's given us his word, the Bible. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up, and the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. You know, they want to see what's going on. And hey, just like people couldn't just randomly touch the Ark of the Covenant, or people couldn't just randomly go into the Holy of Holies and maybe try to see the Shekinah glory of God, you know, God sets boundaries out of love. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest, saying, set bounds about the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Bert, you get the idea. Out of wisdom and obedience, I don't know if they built a fence around the pathway up the mountain, or set up some boundaries or some guards. But just like there was a cherubim with a flaming sword guarding the way to the tree of life, and Adam and Eve in their fallen state would not go and partake of the tree of life, God sets boundaries out of love. And we should have boundaries. We really should. Amen. And there's nothing pious nor wise about lawlessness, is there?
Never has been. Matter of fact, it says the man of lawlessness, and it's referring to the Antichrist, lawlessness. And if you look at some of the things that talks about the last days before Christ does come back for his church, it's lawlessness. And so we as believers, we need to follow the Lord. And when we follow him, I want to tell you there's blessings in that. Well, Alex, today's a special day. It's a day of prayer. We're going to pray. If you've got a prayer request, and we'd love to hear it, call this number, 888-589-8840. We've got prayers that's already been coming to us. We're going to share them. And that number again, 888-589-8840.
According to a recent report, Planned Parenthood continues to rake in billions, despite dwindling clients. The biggest takeaway here is that Planned Parenthood is generating vast profits, including millions in taxpayer funding, and preborn, that's you and me, are stealing their clientele, meaning the babies they are trying to kill. Preborn operates on a very slim budget, as they rescue over 200 babies every day, and they receive no government funding. Preborn's network of clinics are situated in the darkest corners, competing head-to-head with the abortion giants, and they need our help now more than ever. When you donate $28 to Preborn, you will offer a free ultrasound to an expectant mother caught in crisis. Once she hears the heartbeat and sees that precious life, her baby's chances at life doubles. Please sponsor a precious baby's life. Your tax-deductible gift will go directly towards saving babies. So be generous. You'll never regret saving a baby's life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Grace is found, is where you are. Where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
Amen. Well, our problem with this, Alex, and I know you used to bring us in, and I did. The problem is, some of these songs, I'd love to hear the whole thing. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Hey, the number is 888-589-8840. And during the break, our faithful board op, Brent Austin, mentioned something. You know, very often we take prayer requests on Tuesdays, and we really, really need to pray for the Christians in Syria. You know, church history tells us that one of the very first nations that was almost totally evangelized in the early church within the first 100 years of Christianity was Syria. Syria was one of, if not the first, Christian nation. Well, of course, in the 600s to 700s, along comes Islam. And, you know, for many, many centuries now, so much of the Middle East, Christianity has just all but been stamped out. But there are remnants of believers, but the Christians in Syria are being martyred, being persecuted. And Bert, I would just appeal to everybody to please intercede and pray for the precious body of Christ in Muslim lands and Syria in particular.
Amen, Alex. Well, we want to go to the prayer request, and I know Brent got one. And Brent, would you share that with us first? And what we'll do, some of them we may pray immediately, some of them we'll group them together. But your prayer, I'm writing it down, and we'll continue to pray. But Brent, go ahead.
All right, sorry about that. I was writing down more prayer requests. So.
Okay, well, give them to us real quickly, as best you can.
Well, I haven't finished those, so I'll give them to you later. Ursula, longtime listener, messaged us on Facebook. She's asking for prayer for her great-uncle Joe. He has been hospitalized.
Okay, Uncle Joe, and we will pray for that, Ursula. I know you are listening. Let me go to the phone lines now, and I'm going to Andy in Tennessee. Andy, thank you for calling.
Well, thank you, guys. Just happy to get through. And I had two things. It was the prayer request, but he mentioned that. I started hearing about the Syria situation there.
Okay.
And the Christians being persecuted, and that was my main prayer request. And Christians everywhere, we don't think about it in our country because we've got it so good. We don't even think that this is really happening like now.
Amen.
But
you're right.
I did have a question that is off the subject, if you don't mind, but we've been discussing it in our Bible study, and we just kind of a lot of back and forth. So I figured Alex and you would be good at shining a little light on it, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead. We'll do an answer as quickly as we can. Andy, go ahead, man.
Okay. So we've been talking about justifying self-defense. Like if, you know, and my whole argument was, you know, we give a vow before God to protect our wives. And then I'm pretty sure, I might be wrong, but in Ephesians 4, where it says, you know, Jesus gave his life for the church as we should give our lives for our wives, somewhere in something like that. I'm not good at regurgitating perfectly, but, and then just a lot of the guys, like I live near a lot of Amish and Mennonite brothers and sisters, and they just say that it's not justified. Like if someone is to try to harm your family, you have to step back and let God take over. But I just don't feel like
okay.
I think there is a justification for it.
Andy, I think you're right. Alex, do answer Andy as quickly as we can, because we're loaded with prayer requests today. Go ahead, man.
I think the Bible is very clear that nations and individuals have the right to self-defense. And in the interest of time, let me encourage people, one of the best articles ever written, C.S. Lewis, who's a great thinker and a Christian, but years and years ago, and you can find it online, C.S. Lewis wrote an article, Why I Am Not a Pacifist. And pacifism means that, you know, if we are attacked or something, we turn the other cheek. Now, I know that Jesus said, you know, if we are to turn the other cheek, in that we're to bear with people and, you know, we don't return evil for evil. However, when we have a wife and children and even our own person, we have the right to self-defense. And one thing I would say is this. I know that Quakers and Amish, they would say, there is that of God in every person. Well, that's true. We're made in God's image. But if a, you know, unsaved person or a horribly backslidden Christian is going to break in and harm your family, I think you have a moral responsibility to defend your family. And that's why I'm a Second Amendment Christian American. And God has a morally sufficient reason for giving people the right to self-defense.
Amen. Thank you, Andy, for your call. And we are praying for the believers in Syria. I have a personal prayer request. It was Sunday. I was preaching at Ozark Baptist Church, and a lady came up to me and said her mom, that's taking care of her dad, who's the dad, her dad's in hospice at home. She listens every day. So Mrs. Buse, if you're listening, we are praying for you and praying for your husband, Jerry. We want you to know that, and we're going to be praying. We're grouping these together, and we're going to be praying. We've got it written down. So those of you that are prayer warriors, write these names down. This is Jerry Buse. We're praying for him. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Larry. Larry, thank you for calling.
Thank you for being there and taking prayer requests.
You bet, brother.
All right. Well, my heart is kind of hurting right now. There's a young couple who they've undergone the loss of babies in the past, you know, through miscarriage and, you know, being stillborn. And they just had a baby born at 24 weeks. And she lasted 10 days and went home to be with Jesus. Mm. Please pray for the Rogers family.
Rogers family. Mm. And Larry, we're praying for Uncle Joe. We're praying for the believers in Syria. We're praying for Jerry Buse and the Rogers family. Let me pray, lead us in prayer in this one, Alex. Father, I thank you that we can come to you on behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And these are people who are hurting, the believers in Syria. We're praying for strength for them, just like many of them. They're saying, we're not necessarily praying for relief. We're praying that we would stand. That happens many times with persecuted saints. Stand with them, Lord, and we do pray for relief. We pray for Usula's Uncle Joe. Father, we pray again for the Rogers and the loss of this child. It hurts, I know, beyond measure. And we pray for Jerry today that you would be with him, be with his dear wife and the family, God. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brent, do we have another prayer request that you was going to share with us?
We do. I actually have one more from Facebook. Sean is asking for prayer for his son and daughter-in-law who are running an orphanage in Mexico.
Okay. Son and daughter-in-law, an orphanage in Mexico. Write that down, folks. Okay, we'll do that. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Nancy in Mississippi. Nancy, thank you for calling today.
Hi there. Yeah, I appreciate the prayer request time. Yes, I called for prayer for a friend in my Sunday school class, Becky.
Becky. Okay.
That she doesn't have anything broken, that she seeks to find different doctors for various things after a fall, and also for her neighbor, Marcia, who needs somebody to come and help take care of her, and also my sister, Virginia Ann Tokarski, up in Massachusetts, who has been unconscious for about a week now. And I'm praying that God will bring her around and that she will get healed from head to toe.
Okay, we're praying for that. Alex, I know it's Nancy for her friends Becky and Marcia and her sister Virginia, and then for Sean's son and daughter-in-law, the orphanage in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Would you lead us in prayer for these?
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the reality of prayer that we can call on you and you're listening. And Lord, I just thank you that right now, people all over the North American continent, our hearts and our minds are joined together by your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we acknowledge how gracious you are in letting us have this time together. So for all of these names that are mentioned, Lord, there are health issues, there are family issues, there are spiritual issues, especially for this orphanage that we pray for, and these little children that they may not have a mother or a father in their life, but they respond to the love and the care that every child deserves and needs. Lord, we pray blessing and all the needs met. And so for individuals, churches, ministries, those mentioned and those unspoken, many things are on our heart, and you know what those things are. Lord, attend to these needs, meet our needs, and we thank you in advance. Dear Jesus, we thank you in advance because you are so faithful, and you answer, and you undertake on all of our behalf. And Lord, we give you glory as we bring these needs to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Alex. Let me share some others that came in at Word and on our Facebook. We want to pray for Liz. This is Carol's daughter who is suffering from ALS, a difficult, mm-hmm. if difficult disease. So, Carol, I know you're listening. We're praying for Liz. And then Randy from Wisconsin called, and he and his wife, Mary, have been married for 46 years. But she is really under the attack of Satan, where her doubting salvation after serving the Lord for 46 years, and she's even had to have some help in behavioral health center for treatment. So we're praying for Randy. We're praying for your wife, Mary. That he says, and I want to read this, it's hard for me to write or even to understand. Pray that the doctors could help her find a fight against the schemes of the devil. We're joining you, Randy, in praying for that. God, I pray that you would help Mary right now. I pray for her victory over these attacks of Satan. And I pray she would trust you as she has trusted you before, that she would know that you don't leave her. You stay closer than a brother. You're a friend that will never leave. I pray for Randy that you would help him during this time of heartbreak. We're praying for Liz. Father, I thank you for a mother like Carol that would love her daughter so much and pray. I pray for this victory in her life and all that you're doing in Liz's life. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, amen. Thank y'all so much. Let's go to Judith in Virginia. Judith, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much. I have many prayer warriors, but I want the AFR family to join us. My 49-year-old son has been diagnosed with heart failure. He has 20% use of his heart and has a life vest. And I'm praying a miracle healing because he has to work, of course, and he's in construction, which is a very difficult job.
Judith, would you mind giving us his first name? You don't have to, but...
Yes.
Okay, what is it?
Jamie. It's Jamie.
Jamie.
J-I-E, yes.
Jamie. Thank you, Judith. We're going to pray, and we will join him with others in pray. Thank you so much. Let's go to Susan in Texas. Susan, thank you for calling.
Yes, thank you so much. I've just been so very blessed by AFR and especially the Ministry of Exploring the Word. And I'm calling today to lift up my husband, Bill, who is been battling pancreatic and liver cancer. And we've been leaning into the perfect provision of God and his miraculous healing. He's been going through treatments, and he is very weak right now. And want prayer, please, for his complete healing. For we know who the great physician is, amen. And we are never doubting that. And so, thank you for your prayers,
Susan. We will. Right, wow. Pray for Bill right now. We haven't got a lot of time, but we can get two more prayer requests in, I think, Alex. James in Michigan. James, what's your prayer request today, brother?
I'm a first-time caller, but my prayer request is for Giovanni. He's 20 months old, and he has what is called stone man disease.
Oh, yes.
What happens is his body becomes stone-like, and eventually... he won't be able to breathe anymore. And I know his grandparents, and that's how I came to know about Giovanni. So, yes, just lift him up in prayer, please.
Okay, man. Let's get two more in at least and we can pray. Thank you, James. That just, man, pray for those parents and those grandparents.
A lot of needs, aren't
there? Yes, they are. Mark in Michigan. Mark, thank you for calling.
Thank you, Bert and Alex, for your ministry and for inviting prayer. I'm asking prayer for my oldest son, Troy, who's been battling mental illness, and we're praying for a complete healing on his life. And then I also have two other family members that I want to lift up prayer for, Joanna and Gabby. Joanna and Gabby, and the Lord will just draw them to himself completely, and they'll follow Jesus in some important life decisions and not go the way of the world.
Amen. Mark, thank you. That's Troy, his son, and two more family members, Joanna and Gabby. And Brent, did I understand we had one more come up? We got a minute left, but we're going to pray.
Pray for Terry. He lost his wife of 50 years.
Oh, man. Alex, John, we didn't get to your question. What kind of translations do Bert and Alex use? I read mostly the New King James, but I use the others. Alex, could you give a short answer?
Well, let me just say Galatians 5:16, we're to bear one another's burdens. I use the King James, but folks, let's pray for one another. All these needs, let's be faithful to intercede and lift each other up in prayer.
Father, thank you for these who have called. We're praying for Bill. We pray for Giovanni, Troy, Joanna, Gabby. Father, we're asking you to do a great work in Terry, who is hurting beyond measure. Father, help them, strengthen them. May we just follow you all the days of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. It was a great day of prayer.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.